You know, you will encounter hardships and difficulties in every area of your life, in every journey that you take, every adventure that you decided to take on. You will experience hardships and difficulties. I mean, Jesus said it, in this world you will have trouble, but be brave, courageous, because I have overcome the world. You see, when things may not always go as you expected, things may not always go as you plan. We all can testify about that. That's what life is. You know, you make some plans, sometimes something happens, and now you have to kind of like detour yourself around because things not necessarily will go as you want. In every field of your life, in every area of your life, that happens. You see, when you're traveling, you're going with your family somewhere, on the road, there are going to be some crazy drivers you have to deal with. On the road, there might be some roadblocks, there are detours, oh, there's construction, or there might be an accident that nobody was expecting, but now you're detoured, you're stopped, and you had to go another route to get to your destination. You didn't plan for the accident, you didn't plan for the weather, that all of a sudden storming, hailing, and then you're on the road. I mean, things don't go as you expected. It might not be a smooth sailing until you reach your destination. Now, we know that reaching your goal in life, reaching your destination is rewarding, but it won't be easy to get there. Reaching your destination is rewarding, but it won't be easy getting there. It's going to require sacrifices. It's going to require determination to continue, regardless of what it is that's going on in your life, to proceed, to move on. It will require lots and lots of endurance and perseverance on your part. You know, sometimes I believe sometimes people quit or never reach the destination because they give up too early. The pressures of life are too much, and they say, like, I cannot handle this anymore. And then they just throw in the towel, they quit, and they never get to enjoy the final destination. You know how rewarding it is. Yes, I made it, I accomplished this. You know, so I do believe that a lot of times people don't get to reach that goal or destination because they quit too soon, because of the hardships that they experience on that journey. You know what journey you're in right now. You know what journey you have taken on. I also believe a lot of times people become impatient and give up due to the hardships that they encounter. We all been there. How we become impatient for whatever reason, whatever it is that's happening in our lives. You know, and so listen, I've been reading the book of Numbers, and I see a lot of impatience from part of the Israelites, you know, as they are journeying to a land that the Lord promised to give them. That will be the final destination. That will be the resting place of the nation of Israel. But to get there, it will not be easy. You know, the nation of Israel was traveling in the wilderness, and they experienced all kinds of hardships and difficulties. You know, sometimes they didn't have food to eat or water, and now they had to face armies, enemies who would come to attack them, and all kinds of turmoils around them as they're journeying to Canaan, the land of the promise. You see, their journey was not always sunshine and rainbows. It was difficult. Things did not always go as the Israelites expected. You see, Israel was in a town in the desert, in a place called Kadesh or Kadesh, and Moses sent messengers to the king of Edom to request permission to, as their journey, to request permission to go by their land, because that going through their land, it would be shorter way. He said, "Hey, we're gonna here's our nation. We're about to go, and we're heading that direction. Allow us to go through your territory." But the king of Edom told Israel, "No, you're not coming here. If we see you around, we will go out after you and fight you with a sword." So when I have that map, you see, Kadesh, that's where the Israelites were, right there. And now from that moment on, they're going to start going towards the promised land. But it would have been easier, they would have gone in that direction of the arrow through Edom. But Edom did not allow them to go through, so Israel had to go. You know how it is when you're traveling and you want to get to the destination. It's like, now there's a roadblock, detours. Like, and they take you through a town, and you're wasting time. So imagine how longer that journey will be now for the Israelites on foot, walking, thousands of people. You know, sometimes like running on short fuses to like, you know, how impatient they can become. You being on the road, you got kids, when they say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And it's like, no, fall asleep and maybe when you wake up, we're there. But it's like, you know, how tough it is when you're traveling. And so Israel did this. And I want to take you to that's in chapter 20, verse 17 to 21, when Israel requested if they could pass through the land. Let me read that for you so that I can give you a better background of the story today. Numbers 20, verse 17. Moses has sent messengers to the king of Edom and say, please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through the field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right land, to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. But Edom said to him, You shall not pass through, lest I come out with a sword against you. And the people of Israel said to him, we will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. But he said, you shall not pass through. And Edom came out against them with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. And you see in that map why the Israelites now had to go around and, you know, take the long way in their journey. But you know, sometimes when things don't go as you expected, we tend to become frustrated, impatient, and you know, you and I, we all been there in those situations. Like, oh, you gotta do this right now. Come on, seriously. But you know, it's a smart move not to go through Edom, because they already told you they will fight you. So imagine now you're gonna lose people. So in chapter 21, now the text I'm gonna be discussing. Israel's going to travel from Kadesh to Mount Hor. And Aaron, the brother of Moses, that's going to be his final destination. He's going to die at Mount Hor. In case you didn't know, you see on the map again. Go back to the map, Jay. See in the map where they were in Kadesh, and now Mount Hor right there. That's where they wanted to go. Aaron died there. The Lord told Moses, bring Aaron, your brother. He's not going to go to the land of the promise. That was this final resting place of this brother of Moses. Which means, from that moment on, who's going to be leading the nation of Israel all by himself? Moses. So, before it was Moses and Miriam. Miriam already died before. Now, Aaron died. And so, from Mount Hor, they had to go around. You see the route right there in that black arrow. Because Edom did not let Israel go through, but Aaron died at Mount Hor. You can read that in number 20, verse 29. And the Israelites, by the way, they mourned for him 30 days. So after the 30 days were over of grieving Aaron, now Moses is going to take the nation to go around Edom towards the destination where the Lord already told him to go. Look at verse 4, chapter 21 of Numbers. Numbers 21, verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now we know why they're going around the land of Edom. I already told you in chapter 20, they told them, don't come by here because we go and fight you. So they had to set out from Hor to go by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. Verse 5. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. The journey turned to be a little difficult. And like I said, verse 4, we have the reason the people became impatient on the way. Because the route now was a little longer than what they expected. You see, there's always danger in becoming impatient. In any area of life, people tend to complain or speak against God and speak against Moses, God's authority. Here's it. Why have you done this? Why are you taking us this way? Why? You see, when the people become impatient, they easily lash out at other people. They speak evil against other people. They also lose focus and purpose. Because, you know, that question, why? I mean, think about what the Israelites are saying right now. Why are you taking us out of Egypt? First of all, the reason that the Lord took you out of Egypt, because you were groaning and complaining because of how you were being treated in Egypt. He used Moses to deliver you, and now he put you on the way to the promised land. And now you're asking why? You know what I mean? It's like, but why are you, like almost like they forgot the purpose why they're traveling. But that's what happens when people become impatient. They lose focus, they just lash out at whomever. You see, when you read Numbers, one thing that I realized, God hates is complaints. Now, there was a prophet that complained to God, Habakkuk. He has some complaints to the Lord. But, you know, the nation of Israel, you read the whole book of Numbers, complains. And guess what? Every time they complain, God intervened. And then he brought some punishment to them. You can read the whole thing. Like the book of Numbers, you know, one time they're complaining, the Lord just brought fire from heaven to realize, I'm here. I still hear what you're saying. At one time, Miriam and Aaron complained about Moses. By the way, brothers and sisters, they were saying, but Moses thing, he's the only one that God used to talk to. And the Lord didn't like that complaint. And so he told, hey, the three of you, come here. And so the Lord told Moses and Miriam, you should have been careful to talk about my servant Moses. You know, I talk to anybody else through visions and dreams, but with Moses, I talk face to face. You should have been careful not to talk about him. And then Miriam got sick. And then now they had to pray, and they had to ask Moses. And then complaint led to that. I mean, the Israelites been complaining, and then the Lord, I mean, many of them did not even make it to the land of the promise because of their complaints. So one thing that I see through the book of Numbers, God hates complainers. Because when people are, you know, they're running impatient. And so now, says, because they had to go around, the people became impatient, and they, what did they do? They spoke against God and against Moses. I feel bad for Moses because you know how many times it wasn't Moses' fault. He did not even want the job. Remember? He told the Lord, send somebody else. And now he's leading these people and they are so ungrateful. I mean, hello, can you imagine you in those shoes? It's like Moses is just doing what God is telling him to do. But it's like, why are you bringing us out of Egypt? That's an attack directly on God, you know, directly to God. Why are you bringing us out of Egypt? There's no food and there's no water. And you know, this is the kicker right here. This is tough. When we complain so much and we speak evil against God's provision. You notice what they say, we detest this food. What are they talking about? The manna that God's been providing for them. They say, we loathe this worthless. Now they call God's provision worthless. And you know, that's what complaining, that's what being impatient will lead to people. Like, you, whatever God has provided, you don't even see it. That's worthless. We don't want that anymore. And you know, daily, I mean, they never went hungry. God always provided for them. But because they were on a short fuse, they were so impatient, it says, they spoke against God and against Moses. Why are you bringing us out of the land of Egypt? To die in the wilderness? At one time they say, apparently there was no tomb anywhere, and you want us just to bury us in the wilderness. Forgetting about the purpose and focus why God's bringing them. For there's no food and water, and we loathe this worthless food. I mean, that's just a call, calling God's provision worthless. The people complain about God bringing them out of Egypt. They had forgotten God's purpose in freeing them from slavery. But this is what happened when people became impatient. They disregarded God's provision and protection. God's been protecting them and fighting their battles up to that point, and they forgot about it. And they call God's food worthless. This is speaking evil against God's provision. They claim to detest it. Now, how did God respond here to their rebellion? Because that's rebellion against God. When you're not praising what he's done, I mean, he's been so... By the way, these are the same people that one time when they came at the Red Sea, and here comes the army of Pharaoh, who opened the sea for you? It was Yahweh. And you know, like, they've been seeing miracles after miracles. Before, you keep on reading Numbers in the previous chapter, there was water from a rock that the Lord provided water for them. And now they say, there's no water. You notice? There's no water. There's no food. Excuse me? What you call the manna? You know what I mean? Like, but again, that's what you get with the complainers. They don't see the reality. So they, how did God respond to them? You know, because you see in Numbers, you read the whole chapter, and every time that Israel complained, God would punish their complaints. He would do something to show them, to recalibrate their focus. You know what God did? God sent poisonous snakes among their camp. Let's read that verse, verse 5. Remember, that's the context. They complain about and call God's provision worthless. Verse 6 says, then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. God's answer to the rebellion, he sent the word fiery. It's an idiom in that language that means like the poison of the snake. That's am I feeling you when he bites you? It might feel like fire, like you're burning. It's a burning sensation. So some translation would say poisonous snakes, venomous serpent snakes. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they were biting them, and many people died. You see, there's a rebellion, and God's answering the rebellion right there. God punished Israel for the complaining, slandering against himself and Moses. Every time that God's people complain or grumble against a situation, he would teach him a lesson. Like I say, God, you know, we can all complain or grumble about something, but, you know, make sure that you don't linger there too long, because look at what happened to the Israelites. Especially when our grumbling and complaining is about something that God's already been doing and you don't see it. Now, it's interesting, after that happened, the Israelites, they recognized their mistake. They recognized that they have sinned, and they came now to whom? To Moses. The same one that they were complaining about. You know, I always give it to Moses, man. Such a great leader, because you know how many trash and garbage people spoke about him, and then later on they say, please pray for us. You know how many people say, oh, you talk, pray, ask somebody else to pray for you. I'm not praying for you. But Moses, that the kind of leader he was, he would pray for them. Look at what happened, verse 7. After people getting bit by the snakes, and many are dying, because now they realize, oh, this is from God. We obviously messed up. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses, what did Moses do? He prayed for the people. Wow. Look at what the Israelites, here's an example again, how sometimes God does not answer our prayer in a manner in which we want. What is the prayer that the people want? That the Lord do what? That he takes away the snakes. Please ask the Lord to take away this problem, to take away this ordeal that we're experiencing right now. You know, you've been there. You know how it is sometimes when, Lord, just take this away from me. That's not wrong to pray like that, by the way. Jesus did it. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. So the Israelites, I mean, they have a valid point right here. I mean, people are dying in the camp. People are getting bit and in pain. And so he said, Moses, we have sinned against God. When we spoke against God and against you, it's almost like, forgive us, Moses. Pray to the Lord to take away the snakes. Pray to the Lord to take away the snakes. Now, God teaches us in the way that he responds. There's always a lesson when how God responds to our requests. Because look at what God told Moses to do. Verse 8. This is how God responds to their prayer. Verse 8, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. make a serpent, make a, one of those, you know, in the image of those ones that are biting the people, make a snake, bronze snake, and set it on a pole, and when everyone that is bitten will look at that snake on the bronze, they will live. Now, that was God's answer. That did not quite answer the people's prayer, did it? Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, then people will look at the bronze snake on the pole and they will live. Like I said, God didn't answer the prayer in a manner, in a way, how the people wanted it. What they wanted was, take the snakes away. Take them away, Lord. Take this problem away. Take this thing away. The Lord did not remove the snakes. The Lord did not remove the poisonous snakes. You see, God did not remove them from their midst, but He provided an antidote for their bites. God did not remove the poisonous snakes from their midst, but He provided a solution. He provided a remedy for their bites. You see, God does not always take the problem away, but He provides a solution for it. God did not take the fire away from the three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He did not keep them from going to the fire, but He was with them in the fire. You know, God did not take the Philistines away from the army of Israel. They had to go through them. So God did not remove the snakes as they wanted. You see, God's provision is teaching the Israelites something right here. He provided a means by which they don't have to die. You might still get bit because they're still around. The snakes are not going away. The problem is still around there. But in the midst of that problem, God's solution for Moses is that bronze snake. When you get bit, look at it, and you won't die. That was God's way of answering the rebellion right here. It's interesting. I think God's answer teaches us patience. I think the way God answered the Israelites is teaching them patience. I mean, think about this. Let me just backtrack a little bit. People are dying in the camp. You hear people every time they got shouting, oh man, painful. And so they go to Moses, pray for us, that the Lord would take away the snakes. Moses prayed for them, and the Lord said, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and then when somebody's bit, they look at the bronze snake, they will live. Again, the Lord did not remove the venomous snakes. God's answer teaches us patience. Moses first, I mean, think about this. Let's go with me to the camp. The Lord just told Moses, make a bronze snake. People are dying, people are getting bit. Moses had to go and collect all the bronze from the camp. You think that he had it somewhere already stored up? He had to go around finding where there's bronze because he needs to get the bronze, to get the metal, get a fire started. It's gonna take time. Get a fire started, get the container to melt all that bronze in there, and now make it into a way of a serpent. Have to let it cool it off too before you put it on a pole. All that is going to take some time. Are you with me now? You understand? Like, people are still dying. People are still getting bit. And God told Moses, you have to make, again, God could have just provided that. He could have just eliminated, take the problem away, but He didn't. Why? Because the Israelites needed to be taught patience. And sometimes He does that to us too. When we're not learning patience, He's not going to remove that obstacle. He's not going to remove that situation. He's going to teach us how to go around, how to persevere. It's like you had to wait for Moses. The same person you were complaining about, the solution is going to come through him. You had to wait for him to fabricate a snake and put it on a pole. And when you get bit, you look at the one that he made, and then you live. God's answer teaches us patience. God told the people of Israel, He taught the people patience in His provision, how He provided for them. Because yes, He still provided a solution. He still provided a way by which they would not die by the venom of the snake. It was that bronze snake on a pole. You and I need to understand, as followers of Jesus, God will always provide. But He doesn't provide in a way that we always want it. But His provision to our problem does not always come as we expect it. He brings a solution. He is the solution, but it might not come as you expected. You know, for the people, what they really wanted was that nobody else would get bit again. Take the snakes away. he didn't take them away, but he provided a way by which they would not die. God has provided a solution to our rebellion even today. God has provided a solution to our sin problem, to our evil problem in the world. Because you and I, my friends, we too feel the effect of sin daily. We feel the effect of evil in our society daily. God has provided a way by which you don't have to be bit by sin and evil. You see, sometimes people ask, if God is great, but why doesn't he take evil away from us? But why doesn't God take sin away? I mean, God is so great. And don't get me wrong, God could if he wanted to. Why doesn't God take evil away and sin? One day he will eradicate evil and sin completely. But in the meantime, we live in an evil saturated society. And in the midst of this society, just like in the camp of the Israelites, people getting bit by evil and sin, and God has provided a solution too. Just like Moses lifted up, and Jesus talking about the story to a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he used the same story that I'm telling you about. He said in chapter 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You remember that story? Jesus is going back to this. It's almost like that snake on a pole is a prototype of somebody else that's going to be hanging on a cross made of wood, on a pole, if you will, and he will be the solution to our sin problem, to our evil problem, when people place their trust, they believe on him. People still needed to believe in that serpent. Notice that the solution for them was, when you get bit, you got to look at that bronze snake. People could have said, I don't want to look at the bronze snake. Then you get bit, you die. Because God said, this is how you get healed. This is the solution. You got bit by the snake. Look at the bronze snake that the Lord provided. That is your solution. That is the antidote to the bite. The same applies in Jesus. God provided the way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever is bit by sin, so whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in the desert, the Son of Man, Jesus said, must be lifted up. What is he talking about? The crucifixion. Because it is there at that moment that Jesus became the solution to our sin problem, to our evil problem. You see, and after he died, sin did not stop, and evil is still there, but there's a solution. You know, Jesus still remains a solution to our problem. You know, in our society, when people think it's a gun problem, it's this problem. No, you know, it's still a sin problem that we have. But we have a solution right there that if we only pay attention and believe in him, we will have a better society today. Because people still getting bit by sin and evil. That's still going around us. But this is, look up to him. The prototype of that serpent. Jesus hanging on the cross. That is our solution. That is God's answer to our sin problem. I mean, he told Adam and Eve, he told the serpent, he will crush the head of serpent, of Satan. In Genesis 3, 14, 15. Well, you and I still feel the effects of the bite of sin in ourselves and our society. But God provided a solution to our problem. Like I said, sometimes people ask, but why isn't God, he already did it. But you have to, just like this, like needed to look at the bronze snake. You had to believe in Jesus. You had to look to him for salvation. Otherwise, you're not going to be exempt. You're not going to be saved from what's going on in our society. Jesus, like that bronze snake, Jesus is the remedy. He's the antidote to our sin problem, to our evil problem in our world. God provided him so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You and I, as Christians, we still might get bit by sin. Evil things might happen to you. I mean, we are not exempt. We're still living in this camp, surrounded by snakes, surrounded by a lot of things that will bite you. But the solution is still there. And when you get bit, all you got to do is look to him, believe in him. Because one day, you know, that's how salvation, that's how you get saved. That's how you're going to enjoy eternal life. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in his name. John, the writer, later on in the same chapter, verse 33, says, whoever has the Son has eternal life, but whoever refuses the Son will not see life, because God's wrath remains on him. You know, the poison is still there on you. It's through that that we eliminate that poisonous, the poison from sin and evil, looking up to Jesus. He's still the solution to our problem. And that's what you and I will continue to tell people to this day. But people must, I mean, you cannot make people look to him. You cannot make people believe. Our job is to announce that people, whatever it is that you've been bit by in our society, God provided a solution. A solution that's going to teach us patience. A solution that says, like, by him, you and I will have life, and life more abundantly. Would you pray with me this morning?